Blog Talk Radio.
I'm tickled
by when this weekend, Thursday and Friday was kind of an interesting day because I was sharing the gospel with an individual, and he was asking questions, and so finally I asked him, where are you going with your questions? Because, you know, you're fishing, so what kind of answers do you want? I mean, I can give you all kinds of answers, but do you want the truth? So one of them was, how do you know that God's called you? Well, one of the things is you keep hearing that little voice in your head and in your heart telling you, hey, follow me, and I'll turn things around. You know, the topic of this message today is people who rest in God's love live differently than people who are separated from him. It's important that we understand that we live a whole different life than most people. And when you look at someone, you're not to judge them. That's not our job, is to judge them. Now, what it does say is you'll know them by their fruit. But that's not judgment. Judgment becomes when you start criticizing somebody for the things you don't like or the things that are doing. And so that's why I asked him, where are you going with this? And so he went through these different questions, and I said, okay, now that I know where you're going, and while I was asking that question, I also was asking the Holy Spirit what I needed to say to this young man. And he's just like a lot of other Christians. He said, I've listened to men, I've watched what's going on, and it hasn't worked, and I've gotten drawn into some trouble, and it's cost me, you know, my job, and now I'm having to work doing what I'm doing now, and he said, but I've read the scriptures and been in church. I said, you know, there's a lot of Christians like that. A lot of people. I said, the thing is, folks, is remember, in Colossians chapter 2, he tells you up there around verse 8, he says, don't get caught up in hollow, deceptive philosophies and traditions of men, but rather in Christ. And so over the generations and traditions, we've always gotten caught up in the traditions of men. We've always looked at someone that is doing something and doing it with success, and it looks good on the outside, but we never spend the time to see what's on the inside. So we start modeling ourselves around those people. But usually those people don't give you everything that they're going through, or all the struggles that they've been through and all the failures they've been through. They always want to give you the good part of it and the fun part of it to attract you into this relationship. And so, believe it or not, men of God do the same thing. Why? Because they're after something and they've learned how to meet their own needs. And they've learned how to draw on somebody's weakness instead of learning how to draw on someone's strength. And see, and that's the good thing about Jesus. See, we don't draw on Jesus' weakness. We draw on Jesus' strength, which strengthens us. You know, you've heard the scriptures, when you're weak, he is strong. And that's true. And even when you mature in the word more, you may be stronger, but guess what? He's still above you because that's the way it was fed up. But once you decide to lead yourself and be Lord over your life, guess what? You're going to find out your strength is not going to endure. I've learned that lesson. So it's not that I'm weak in this aspect. It's just I've learned to get ahead of God. And so I've learned to humble myself before him. And in that humility and humbleness, it's not that I'm weak, it's just that I'm strong because I've learned to let him lead and I've learned to follow. And the reason why we're going today on this Monday, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, it says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Now, when God came to me 10, it would be about 12 years ago when this thing started. The first message that came to me was, wait on the vision. And, you know, the very first thing I said when I got that message from the man that delivered it, I said, "That's all he said was wait on the vision?" And he said, "Yep, that's what he said, wait on the vision." Then the gentleman told me, he says, "I will not come back to you until the Lord sends me to you to deliver more of the message." And the more I thought about it, and the more I meditated on it, I started to see that waiting on the vision was really not just being still doing nothing, because there was more coming to me. And so as I was waiting for the next delivery of the message, I kept thinking, "Okay, God, what is it you want? What is it? What are we going to be doing?" And I've always read my Bible. I've always listened to the Bible every day. It's just part of my life. And so I thought, wow. But then it started settling in my spirit. Wait on the vision. And I got to thinking, what is the vision? And, you know, they always say, write down the vision, make it clear, and run with it. I got thinking, okay, what is it? My vision or his vision? And so that was the question that he asked me. Whose vision are you running with? I've always ran with my vision. And that's when he come and said to me, he says, "You know what? That's why you get in trouble. You see, when I started to learn to wait on his vision, things started turning around for me tremendously. And the more that I would ask for clarity on this, that's when he gave me the principles of reading the Proverbs. And when he first told me that, he said, "Listen to me, folks." He said, "Just read it back to me. That's all I ask you to do." He said, "Just read it back to me every day." And so I said, "Well, that's simple enough." And he said, "No, it's not as simple as you think. See, because you got to get away from your traditions. You got to get away from the way you were brought up. And you got to quit listening to all the people out there, because everybody's going to have something to say about what you're going to do." And you wouldn't believe how many people would tell me all kinds of things. And I understand how the principalities in darkness work, is they're always trying to keep you away from the word. And so everybody, and some of my minister friends that have some huge ministries and say, well, God didn't tell me to do that. So, you know what? If he told you to do it, do it. I mean, I heard all kinds of things. But, you know, I heard God and I was going to do what he wanted me to do. And because I had been tired, I had been tired of listening to everything out here, doing what they said they were doing, and none of it working. I was fed up. I didn't look any different than the church world or the world. And I said, there's got to be more to this than that and what's going on. There's got to be more. And that's when he came to me, you know. And I'm going to read Lamentation to you again, chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. He says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. See, everybody says, you mean you want me to wait and wait quietly? The world tells you to be loud and go forward and press on and go through those storms and you just press on. But that's not what Jesus said. See, that's the things of the world, and that's where we get in trouble. Is because the world always said, write the vision, make it clear, and run with it. And then you go hit a wall, and then you go, Jesus, where are you? And then you go hit another wall, and you go, Jesus. And then you hit another problem, Jesus. And he says, you left me. You ran off, and you went ahead of me, and you left me back here. Every time you get a storm, you say, how can you say every time? Well, because I found out for me, is if I stay where Christ is through this principle, I don't have those kind of storms anymore. Because I have learned to speak to the storm and the storm becomes still. See, I have learned over the years, over the last 10 years, that when Jesus told me we're going to the other side, and when I wake up in the morning, I made it to the other side, there might be some storms, but I spoke to them and they were still, and I arrived on the other side. So every time you wake up in the morning, you have arrived on the other side. Now you need to know what to do on the other side. And see, and this is the thing that I've learned. What do you do on the other side? Well, you see, we'll read the scripture again, and then I'm going to go to the Proverbs. This is, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope, wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is salvation. He says, work out your salvation. Salvation is God's, he rescues you, he delivers you, and he honors you in salvation. Salvation is his presence around your life because you belong to him. Because you said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. So salvation has a purpose, and it also has a job to tend to you on your journey. And so when I get on the other side, you see, I've learned to give that sound answer back to him. And so that's the same thing that Jesus did every day. He got on the other side. He always got on the other side. He made the journey. When he came from heaven to earth, he made it on the other side. And when he was walking down here, He was doing what he was supposed to be doing, tending to his father's business. All right? So the more I learned how to have this relationship with him, I realized what Adam and Eve lost in that garden. That we had such a lovely relationship in that garden, but we allowed someone to mislead us and pull us out. See, I've learned now that I don't let anybody move me from this word. This word belongs to me. I own this thing. And there is no one that will move me and tell me to quit reading my Proverbs. Because I know when I show up on the other side, I know exactly what to do. And so I give him back that sound answer. As I give it back to him, I listen to it. And I realize that it gives me everything I need for this day. And so I want to read a little bit more in Lamentations before I go to Proverbs. And verse 27 says, "It is good for man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him burden his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who will strike him. Let him be filled with disgrace, for men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men." But you see, here's the fun part about it. Slowly, he shows you. He shows you his compassion and great unfailing love. So we've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's what you've heard all your life. But once you have accepted Jesus Christ, you've tapped into the glory. It will change your life tremendously. You will see that you will be a people who rest in God's love, live differently than those who are separated from him. This is where we need to get, children of God, that there is such a difference that people can see who we serve. And I guarantee we are seeing that in our church. We had a friend of mine that I just met 3 weeks ago. I call him friend because he's a man of God. And he came to the church, and we had such a fun time just ministering. But it was just a confirmation of what God has already told us, what God's going to do with this, how this ministry is going to keep growing, how people are going to partner up with the ministry, and it's just going to continue. This message is going to continue to spread. And he was speaking the same thing over the church family and how their lives have changed so tremendously that God was going to use them just as mighty as he was going to use us. So it's not a respecter of persons. It's a respecter of those who are obedient to it. So when you start to see that there is a difference, and the difference should draw people in, not push people out. And that's where the church is today. It's pushing people away instead of drawing people into the kingdom of God. Because the church looks like the world. Now watch this real quick because I'm going to run out of time here. It says, Proverbs 2, it says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from the mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is the shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the ways of his faithful one. Isn't that what we was reading in the rest of Lamentations there? Yes, you're going to go through some stuff, but all of a sudden he guards you all the time. And you can see it. He says, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight path to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong, rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are divisive in their way. That's why I said, look at what people are doing, and if it looks good and it's financially looking, that doesn't always mean it's right. You got to look inside. You got to look in the heart. God shows you how to do all that stuff. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant made before God. For her house leads down to death, her path to the spirit of the dead. None who go to her return or obtain the path of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep the path of righteousness. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Don't be those that are getting torn. Be those that are put into it. You know, we're down to the last 32 seconds. Well, listen. God said there's 1,000 people out there that'll give $50 a month. And so I thank those givers that will give to the ministry. But, you know, if God tells you to give more, give more. If God says give less, give less. You know what? We're a listener-supported ministry. We need you. You're part of the equation. We love you. Don't be separated from God. Because God has a purpose for your life. And your purpose is to give him first his word back to him. Then it's to be a light to those that are in the darkness. And that light and your differentness will draw people in. Because they'll see the heart of God. And so I just want to say thank you for all those that listen to us. It is such a privilege and an honor to come and share with y'all every day that we're here Monday through Friday. Thank y'all. It brings great joy to know that you're listening around the world. Well, it's that time. I love you. If God spoke to you to give, go to the website, BAFCI, and you can give online there. All right. God bless you.